Christianity is a show-me religion. We need to understand some of the things that makes Christianity attractive and understand that we are not going to be effective in reaching people and getting them to want to become a Christian unless we understand some of these things that will attract people and some of the things that will drive people away. What are some of the things that make the gospel attractive? Good works, love, our speech, unity, peace of mind, consistency, consecration, readiness. Doing our best will make the gospel attractive. These are some things I want us to consider this morning to help us as we are working in our efforts to reach others. Before we get into the lesson, I again want to thank everyone for being here this morning. It's good to see this number out. This evening, or this afternoon, remember our business meeting is going to be before service instead of after. The evening service, I've been trying to promote it to some of the other congregations to get some visitors to come from there. It's a very important subject. And in our money series, I would say it's probably the most important one and the one that gets talked about the least. We have invited some people. I hope they show up. I hope others show up, but be praying for that. Paul said in Titus chapter 2 and verse 9, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." On the slide that I have up here, which one of those apples would you want? Would you want the one that's in the clean hand or the one that is in the dirty, disgusting hand? I know which one I would want. And sometimes the apples are the same. They're both the same, but one is going to be more attractive to someone else than the other. We need to understand that that applies to the gospel also, and we must live our life in a manner that is consistent with drawing others to us. Here Paul said that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. What does it mean to adorn? It means to arrange, to put in order, to beautify, to make attractive. James tells us in James 2:18, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" So we adorn the doctrine of Christ, of God, by our works, by our actions, being consistent with our doctrine. We see this in all areas of life. If someone is going to sell their house, what are they going to want to do? They're going to adorn it. We don't use that phrase, but they want to make it attractive to a buyer that comes along. Fix this, change that, do this. They want to adorn it. A young man becomes interested in a young woman, and what does he want to do when he asks her out? He wants to make himself look presentable, that she is going to say yes to him. A young girl will do the same thing. She wants, when she gets ready to go out on that date, she's going to want to clean up, look good. She is going to want to adorn herself. We understand this principle in so many things, and Satan uses this principle in making sin attractive and leading Eve to sin. We read in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. So she saw it was pleasant to the eyes. It was desirable. Satan uses this principle today with us to make sin look attractive. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And as Christians, we need to learn the importance of making our doctrine, our gospel, attractive to our fellow man. We need to make it attractive with joy. You know, joy is one of the hallmarks of belonging to God. Joy flows from being in His presence and experiencing the richness of His love. When we understand that we are children of God, that we are in His presence, and He blesses us so richly every day, how can we not have joy? But why do so many people not have joy? They have worry, they have stress, they have pain, they are exhausted, and these are all joy robbers. And why do we have those? Because Satan has taken those things of the world and made them appealing and distracting us. Satan is distracting us. That is why we do not have joy. If we're stressed out, it's not because we have no joy. It may be because Satan has turned our eyes from God to him. And then we're stressed out. We lose our joy. We can't be that way as Christians. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 27, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." That's how we adorn ourselves. And again, you take a young boy and a young girl, and I remember back in high school, sometimes guys would talk about a girl. She would be very beautiful and very attractive, yet nobody liked her. Why? Because of her inner self. She wasn't a likable person. And as Christians, we've got to understand that we can cause some people to lose their appetite for Christ if we do not have that incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So let's look at some ways and some things that will make the gospel attractive. Good works will make the gospel attractive. 1 Peter 2:12, "Having our conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." So good works is something that will make the gospel attractive. And the denominations say, yeah, that's right. And they'll come up with all kinds of what they call good works. What are the good works? They're the ones that we can read about in God's Word. Things such as taking care of the needs of others. Matthew 25, remember that judgment scene? When Jesus is talking about separating the sheep and the goats, and he mentions six areas of service that we are to do to others, that's a good work. Teaching the gospel to others is a good work. Acts 20:20, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." The mother taking care of a child and a family, that's a good work. Christians taking care of aged parents, those are good works. There are so many just simple everyday things that are good works that we often neglect. And when people see us do those, they are going to be interested in why are we doing them, and again, the joy it brings in our life. Well, love will make the doctrine of Christ attractive. John 13, 34 and verse 35, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So it's not just any kind of love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a deep love. It's a love of compassion. You love one another as I have loved you. You also love one another. Jesus demonstrated a love that no one else could demonstrate. And you think about him leaving heaven and coming to this earth to die for us, who were his enemies. We are the ones that are responsible for nailing him on the cross. We think about those people back in the first century. But friends, our sins nailed Jesus to the cross. And you think about with his disciples, they were together day and night for 3 years, and then they deserted him. But he loved them. He loved them. You love one another as I have loved you. You also love one another. And when we do that, when we have this type of love for each other, all will know that you are my disciples. That's going to attract people to the gospel. God used his love to make the gospel attractive when he sent his son. John 3:16. He loved us so much. You take love and that's going to make it attractive. Well, what's the opposite of love? Hatred and bitterness. And when you have hatred and bitterness among brethren, that does not make the gospel attractive to the world. And places will get reputations. Oh, I wouldn't go there. They're always fussing and fighting and bickering. No, that's not going to make the gospel attractive. A loving group. And I would say we have a very loving group here, that everybody cares for one another. Back to the bitterness, Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, "If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." In Hebrews 12:15, "Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled." Again, you take the gospel, let that apple represent the gospel. You've got the gospel in the hands of love. You got the gospel in the hands of hatred and bitterness. Which one is going to be attractive? And love and bitterness, these are emotions. And our emotions, positive or negative, will affect people. We may not be aware of that, but our emotions have a very big influence on others. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 9, "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now all these happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. You get around a group of complainers, what are you going to do? You'll probably start complaining. You get around a group of positive people, you're going to be more positive. Our emotions have an influence on other people and can either make the gospel attractive or it can drive people away from the gospel. Our speech will make the gospel attractive. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 34. "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that men speak, they will give an account of in that day. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Again, we talk about this often. Our speech, our words show what is in our heart. How can you, being evil, speak good things? If we're evil, we aren't going to be talking about the God and gospel, his word. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. You think about that for a minute. Again, what do we talk about most of the time? We talk about what is in our heart. If it's sports, we're going to talk about sports. Did you see that game the other night? If it's hunting, if it's hobbies, we're going to talk about that. I went here and I went there hunting and fishing and all of that, and that's all fine. If politics is on your mind, you're going to talk about politics. How much do we talk about God and His Son and the gospel and the story of redemption and the story of salvation and what God has done for us? We aren't going to pull, with me, I can't pull something out of my head and start talking to you about sports, or something out of my heart and start talking to you about hunting. I don't do those things. I can talk to you all day about the Bible and God's Word, because that's what I try to keep in my heart. And we need to have an abundance of it. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. When we come across somebody that's needing something, we need to reach down into our heart, into that good treasure, and bring out treasures from God's Word and share it with them and help them. And it may be something, again, that will lead them a step closer to Christ. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of in that day. We speak so many words that really are not going to teach someone or edify someone. And that's one little thing. Our speech can have such a big impact in making the gospel attractive to someone else. Unity makes the gospel attractive. Jesus prayed that all would be united. In John 17, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. See, when people are united and they're united in Christ, there's a strong power there. And back to our class this morning, thinking about Paul approaching Peter and rebuking him to his face. And Peter had led away so many of the other Jews because they had played the hypocrite. But when they all came together and rallied around what God wanted them to do, they had great influence. And again, Peter called Paul his our dearly beloved brother. There is strength in that. Unity. Paul pleaded for unity. The Jerusalem church had unity. Unity is good and pleasant. Psalm 133:1. We're told to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:3. How do we do that? We must work at it. It's not something that is going to happen by accident. We follow God's word. Something else that will make the gospel attractive is having peace of mind. And you say, well, how can peace of mind make the gospel attractive? You just look at all of the people that we know in the world that don't have peace of mind. The peace of mind makes the gospel very attractive. Philippians 2:14 through 15, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We live in a world that complains and disputes. It's just so worked up all the time. As Christians, we don't need to be that way. We should have peace of mind. And you think about, there's just so many distractions in this corruptible world, this world that's falling apart. Things are failing and falling apart. No, God's word is the only thing that is true, that is going to stand forever. It's going to last forever. You hear about these lifetime warranties. You get this lifetime warranty that's good for 6 months or a year, or as good as long as you own it. Well, you know, they again just redefine everything. But when you take all of those lifetime warranties, and some of them you have to pay money to get them to guarantee it's not going to fall apart, when all of those have expired and this world is burned up, God's word is still going to stand. And we can have peace of mind. People in the world are looking for peace of mind. And they're looking for it in the wrong places. They're looking for it going to clubs. They're looking for it in alcohol. They're looking for it in a bottle of some type. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. Instead of opening the Bible and spending time in God's Word and casting all their care on God. And when you see people that are grumbling and complaining and unhappy in the world, I try to stay away from those people. Sometimes if somebody starts grumbling and complaining, if I can, I just try to walk away from them. I don't want that to rub off on me. And if we become like that, again, are we going to make the gospel attractive to someone else? If you go to the grocery store and you're fighting and complaining with your spouse and arguing about everything, and you get to the checkout counter and, here, come to our service tonight. You hand them one of our cards. Are they going to want to come? They're probably going to want to see where that address is and make sure they stay away from there. These are just simple things we can do to make the gospel attractive to others. Wednesday night when I was talking about eating in Luke, and it seemed like when you go through the book, Jesus was always going somewhere or came somewhere or was involved somewhere in eating with people. And he did a lot of his teaching around a meal. It's simple things that we can do to make the gospel attractive. Consistency will make the gospel attractive. The inconsistency of the Jew made Judaism unattractive to the Gentiles. Some of the Gentiles, well, why would I want to be a Christian when I see the Jews that have become Christians doing all of these things? There are inconsistencies today in the church that make people look like this hand over here on the right-hand side. Some say they believe in the Bible, but then what do? They forsake the assembly. That's being inconsistent. They say they believe in the Bible, but then when they come to worship, their heart isn't right. They haven't removed all of that bitterness and anger of the world and focused their heart on God. They say they believe the Bible. They say they believe God, but then they don't love the brethren. They don't care for the brethren. They say they want to be spiritual, or they want to go to heaven, but then they aren't spiritual. Consecration and devotion will make the gospel attractive. Again, back to Galatians chapter 2, a verse that we looked at this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, we got to be consecrated. We've got to be devoted. We've got to be on fire. You take any person in any field, in any career, and you see one, a person that's on fire, and you have respect and admiration for that person because they are devoted to what they are doing. They want to be the best salesperson, the best athlete, the best manager, the best teacher, and you just want to be around that person. And if you're in the same field and you want to be mediocre or lower, you know, there's not much that's going to attract other people to that area. We need to recognize the power and nature of God and who he is, and we should consecrate ourselves and devote ourselves to him. And we see that too as we age and as we get older, consecration and devotion. I know some people are not able to get out because of their health situation, but Code and Jane, you two are preaching the best sermon every time we come here with your devotion and consecration to come out and be at the assembly. That's a big lesson, and all of us need to be preaching that lesson because others are looking. The whole world is looking at us. A lot of times we just don't think that they're looking at me. Readiness will make the gospel attractive. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a question for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If I go to the store and I see somebody that's got a service truck, and I happen to have a problem with the field that he's in, and I walk up to him and I say, hey, I need some work done on this thing that I have at my house, and I see you take care of these. When can you come over and take a look at it? Well, I don't know. And they start stuttering and stammering, and I don't know what my schedule is, and I don't know if I can do that, and I just don't know. You just want to walk away. As Christians, we want to be ready. We get somebody that we can talk to. We need to have those three Bible study sheets in our Bibles ready to go. We need to have these cards in our wallet or purse to hand out to people. We need to have those DVDs on our body, in our car, somewhere close. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are we ready? Or do we think we'll get ready someday later? And I have always found this an interesting verse. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. How many people walk up to you and ask you for a reason for the hope that is in you? Peter is writing to people, to Christians, to us, and telling us there should be something different about our life. First of all, that people are going to ask, what's that hope that you have? It's so different than what everybody else has. What is that hope that you have? And then he's also telling us we need to be ready to give him an answer. We don't want to be that person that stutters and stammers. We want to share the gospel with them. One last thing that will make the gospel attractive is just doing our best. We'll do that. A half-hearted Christian never makes the gospel attractive to anyone. You think about the church at Laodicea. They were lukewarm. And basically, to put it in our language today, that made God sick to his stomach. He just wanted to spew them out of his mouth. He just wanted to vomit them out because they were lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3. We think about the widow who gave her two mites, such a small amount, but we're still talking about her today. Why? Because she did her best. Friend, God wants us to be a reflection of him. He wants our heart to beat with his. He has a message for the world. He has given that message to us. It is our job to take it out and share it with others. We can do that in such a way that we either make it attractive and people want it, or we can do that in such a way that we turn people off and they say, no, thank you. Friends, making the gospel attractive, we need to do that. Our life must be consistent with the Word of God. If your life is not right, we ask that you make it right this morning. Start by repenting of your sins, confessing Christ and being baptized, crucifying that old man, walking as a new life, and then making our life attractive to others as we let Christ live in us. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.